So I got a joke for you. It's one of my favorite jokes in life, actually. This guy's walking down the street. He's got a frying pan in his hand. And every couple steps he takes, he stops mid-step, whacks himself in the face as hard as he possibly can with the frying pan. He's been doing this down the street for quite a bit. So as you can imagine, his face is this bloody mass of just bruises and cuts, and he just looks awful. And after doing it for a while, walking in public this way, he's attracted quite a bit of attention. The people, you know, being apprehensive to approach someone who's so clearly got some sort of schizophrenic problem, you know, they're kind of naturally taken aback and don't approach him. Eventually, someone finally gets up the courage to go up and approach him and say, you know, excuse me, sir, you know, are you okay? I mean, you know, why are you doing this? And he looks at them and says very, very calmly, very collectively, because it feels so good when I stop. So I'm going to play a song right out of the box. This is Aesop Rock. It's a song called No Regrets.
Yo, ask her. Hey, Lucy, come here. Eyes cut it. Lucy, she didn't hear you. Yo, ask her again. I won't leave you. Let her be alone, me. Lucy, come here. Lucy, she ain't listening to you. Yo, ask her again. Hey, Lucy, how old are you? Yo, Lucy.
Was seven and wore a head of blue barrettes. City born into this world with no knowledge and no regrets. Had a piece of yellow chocolate when she drew up on the street. The many faces of the various locals that she would meet. There was Joshua, age 10, bully up the block who always took a milk bunny at the morning bus stop. There was Mrs. Crabtree and her poodle. She always gave a wave and holler on her weekly trip down to the bingo parlor. And she drew men, women, kids, sunsets, clouds. And she drew skyscrapers, food stands, cities, towns. Always said hello to passersby. They asked her why she passed the time attaching lines of concrete, but she would only smile. Now all the other children living in or near her building ran around like tyrants soaking up the open fire hydrants. They would say, hey, little Lucy, wanna come jump double dutch? Lucy would pause, look, grin, and say,
I'm busy, thank you much.
Well, well, 1 year passed, and believe it or not, she covered every last inch of the entire sidewalk, and she stopped. Yeah, after all this, you're just giving in today?
She said, I'm not giving in, I'm finished,
and walked away.
Wait,
1, 2, 3, that's the speed of the sea. ABC, that's the speed of the D. You could dream a little dream, or you could live a little dream. I'd rather live it. The dream is always cheap, but never get it.
An introverted somewhat.
Basement apartment in the same building she grew up in. Right. She traded in her blue berets for long locks, held up with a clip, traded in her yellow chalk for charcoal sticks.
And she drew
little Bobby who would come to sweep the porch.
And she drew
the mailman delivered every day at four. Lucy had very little contact with the folks outside her cubicle day, but found it suitable and she liked it that way.
She had a man now,
Rico, similar,
hermit.
They would only see each other once or twice a week on purpose. They appreciated space and Rico was an artist too, so they'd connect on Saturdays to share the pictures that they drew.
Look.
Now every month or so she'd get a knock upon the front door, just one of the neighbors acting nice, but she was a strange girl. Really said,
Lucy, wanna join me for some lunch?
Lucy would smile and say,
I'm busy, thank you much.
The neighbor would make a weird face the second the door shut, then run and tell her friends that truly crazy Lucy was. And Lucy knew what people thought but didn't care, cause while they spread their rumors through the streets, she made another masterpiece.
1, 2, 3, that's the speed of the sea. ABC, that's the speed of the need. You could dream a little dream, or you could live a little dream. I'd rather live it. The dream is always chased but never get it. 1, 2, 3, that's the speed of the sea. ABC, that's the speed of the need.
Lucy was 87, upon a deathbed at the senior home where she had previously checked in.
Oh.
Traded in the locks and clip for a headrest. Traded in the charcoal sticks for arthritis. It had to happen.
And she drew no more.
Just sat and watched the dawn. Had a television in the room that she never turned on. Lucy pinned up a life's worth of pictures on the wall and sat smiling, looked each one over just to laugh at it all. Noriko, he had passed about 5 years back. So the visiting hours pulled in a big flock of nothing. She never spoken much to at the spanning of her life until the day she leaned forward, grinned and pulled the nurse aside and she said,
look, I've never had a dream in my life, because a dream is what you want to do but still haven't pursued. I knew what I wanted and did it till it was done, so I've been the dream that I wanted to be since day one.
Well, the nurse jumped back. She never heard Lucy even talk, especially words like that. She walked over to the door and pulled it closed behind. Then Lucy blew a kiss to each one of her pictures and she died.
1, 2, 3, that's the speed of the sea. ABC, that's the speed of the D. You can dream a little dream or you can live a little dream. I'd rather live it. This dream is always chased but never get it. 1, 2, 3, that's the speed of the sea. ABC, that's the speed of the D. Dream a little dream and you can live a little dream. I'd rather live it. This dream is always chased but never get it. 1, 2, 3, ABC. 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 1, 2, 3
friend killed by a friend, and lives that were over before they were spent. I have seen what I was, and I know what I'll be. I've seen it all. There is no more to see.
So, we started off with Aesop Rock. The song's called No Regrets, and followed that up with a song by Bjork The song's called I've Seen It All. It's from the soundtrack to the film Dancer in the Dark. But that's actually a rare live track. It's not available on any of our albums or website or anything. You'll probably only find that on my site here because I got the hookup like that. Björk was talking to me the other day in Icelandic, and she told me to put that song on the podcast, so I did. To keep people out of suspense, basically the medical prognosis, as it were, is multiple sclerosis. And if you're like me, you had no idea what multiple sclerosis was. I'm going to read what Wikipedia says and see if that helps. Probably not. Multiple sclerosis, abbreviated MS, also known as disseminated sclerosis or encephalomyelitis, disseminatia. Really hard to pronounce words, is a disease in which the fatty myelin sheaths around the axons of the brain and the spinal cord are damaged, leading to demyelination and scarring, as well as a broad spectrum of signs and symptoms. I'm going to skip some words here. MS affects the ability of the nerve cells in the brain and the spinal cord to communicate with each other. Nerve cells communicate by sending electronic signals called action potentials down long fibers called axons, which are wrapped in insulating substance called myelin. In MS, the body's own immune system attacks and damages the myelin, which is what MS is. MS is my immune system is attacking my own nervous system, which explains all the symptoms I've been having for those who listened to the previous podcast or have been keeping up with me. I lost vision completely in my left eye, which is coming back, by the way. And I have a whole weird, crazy series of stuff that's going on the left side of my body. It's all been on the left side. Very common symptoms with it, and it's something I've been coping with and dealing with. So since my last podcast, at that point, they had assumed it was a stress attack or something. They weren't completely certain what was wrong with me, but they were thinking MS. They were running all sorts of tests. And I was hospitalized for 5 days, been placed on IV steroids, which, again, this is something else. You know, it's a lot of things that, you know, you get an impression of what, you know, a certain thing is. Steroids is one of those things. Everyone thinks steroids. They think bodybuilders and all that type of stuff. It's nothing whatsoever of the sort. There's different types of steroids, and this is a type of steroid that the body naturally produces, which I didn't realize. You actually need it to heal. Your body uses steroids to heal. That's what steroids do. And they've increased the amount of steroids in my body by something like 300% so that I heal very quickly. This does not treat MS, by the way. There is no treatment for MS. There's no cure. There's no anything. What it does do is it decreases the symptoms because what I have had is what's called a flare-up or an attack. I like to think of it as the tides, like the ocean tides, because it's going to come back. It's going to happen again, which is probably the scary part because you don't know when and you don't know what's going to trigger. It's just going to happen on its own. That's the part that's going to be the biggest, most difficult thing to cope with for me. Fortunately, knowing what it is, that helps a lot as far as, you know, okay, well, I know what this is. I can deal with it when it happens again. You know, I know when it happens again, I'm not going to be freaked out going, oh my God, what's wrong with me? I'll know what it is. I won't be happy about it. I'll have to deal with it. But, you know, it's basically an affliction I will be stuck with for the rest of my life, and it's something that is very livable. It doesn't shorten your life. On average, most people with MS live about 5 years less than the people who don't have MS. So the fact that I've never done drugs or done any drinking or smoking, and even though I'm overweight, I've been trying to, you know, I've been getting my weight down. I've lost more weight since I was checked in the hospital. All that, you know, will help as far as I'm not going to be, like, dying anytime soon, as far as I know. Not planning on it anyway. Haha. So that's the not keeping you in suspense part of the story. So let's talk a little bit about when I was hospitalized. That 5 days, I have no sense of time right now. No sense of... Well, my sense of everything. Let me sidetrack for a second here because they've got me on steroids, as I said before. And you know, one of the things that's interesting about steroids is, you know, if you're like myself, you've probably played the game Max Payne or played some video game. Like I think even in Grand Theft Auto Vice City, there were like uppers or steroids or something in there that you could get that affected, like a power-up that basically affected time and stuff like that. In Max Payne, if you're not familiar with it, steroids help increase what's called bullet time, which is where time slows down and you're able to do things. There is a reason they picked that medication for that type of in-game device, because my sense of time is completely askew. Like, I have no idea. Minutes seem like, like a minute to me is like 5 minutes to everybody else. Time is just whizzing by in a way that you can't even begin to comprehend. What steroids have done to me, so far anyway, is they've turned the volume down on all of my senses. And when I say all my, I mean literally all of my senses. They've turned the volume down on my sense of taste. I can barely taste anything. They've turned my sensitivity down on just every part of my body. Like, I feel small. I feel like I'm this person wearing this suit made out of me. So, like, my face feels very numb and very far away from where it actually is. Strangely, I still have a good sense of where I am. You know, we growing up in school, we always said there's five senses. You know, there's your sense of taste and blah, 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 blah. But really, we have other senses that we don't talk about with children because they're hard to communicate to children. One of them that you have is you have an inherent sense of where you are. If you close your eyes and you put your two fingers together, you know where those two fingers are going to join at because you have a sense of where you are spatially in the world. And that's the one sense that hasn't really seemed to have been affected as far as I can tell. I mean, I'm naturally clumsy anyway, but when I reach for something, I don't, like, knock stuff over everywhere. In fact, if anything, maybe because I'm more acutely aware of it, I've been more careful with stuff and less likely to, spill things everywhere. I guess that's not very interesting, but it's a really odd experience to go through. It's something that is a little disconcerting. It's a very unique experience. You know, I've never done drugs. I've never been high, never been drunk. I would not recommend anyone out there who does drugs or drinks or anything like that. If you're interested in getting high, this is not the high you want to get, I can assure you. It's not a pleasant experience. I can't see there being a single aspect of this that would be pleasant. So, hey kids, stay in school, don't do drugs. And especially don't do steroids. They make your body just do all sorts of crazy, silly stuff. So I'm going to play another song, and then I'm going to get into a little bit more about what's going on with me. This is actually going to be a pretty short podcast. There's not a lot for me to say. This is a song. It's called Isn't Life Strange? It's by the Moody Blues. Hey, isn't life strange? It sure is.
Isn't life strange? A turn of a page can read like before. Can we ask for more? Each day passes by. How hard man will try, the sea will not taste, you know it makes me want to cry. Isn't love strange?
a word we arrange with no thought or care. Maker of despair, each breath that we breathe, we love, we must be, to make us as one, even though it makes me want to cry. Isn't life strange? A turn of the page, a book without lines, unless with love we rise to throw it away.
Just move, just move, just move. I think something is burning. Now you've ruined the whole thing. Muffle the smoke alarm. Whoever put on this music, better quick, sharp, remove it. Pour me another. Oh, don't work your finger on me.
So that was the Moody Blues with Isn't Life Strange, followed up with Just For Now by Imogen Heap, songs that are personal anthems and very very appropriate for the moment. I was talking about steroids. One of the things I didn't touch on, the steroids, I talked about how they affect your senses as far as just your waking. And there's all sorts of other side effects. Like I get this really horrible cough, I get these pains that shoot throughout my body. They're not really sure if that's the steroids or if that's the MS itself. The first night that I went home and I went to bed, when I got out of the hospital, they don't let you sleep. If you've never been hospitalized, they do not let you sleep in the hospital. You just don't. You do not get to sleep. They are in about every 2 hours, every hour, sometimes even more. They'll do all sorts of stuff. You know, maybe it'll be to bring you food, or maybe it'll be to just ask you if you need anything. Haha, I need sleep. Or maybe it'll be to take some blood, run a test. I was the hospital's personal pincushion. If you actually looked at my arms, they're just needle tracked out like some sort of fucking black tar heroin addict right now. My right arm's just got, I mean, you couldn't even count the holes. They were taking blood, I'm not exaggerating this, they were taking blood out of me 4 times a day. I think Medical College of Georgia is secretly run by a vampire. You might want to get someone on the case on that, just in case anyone's curious. That's where the vampires are. So if you're looking, if you're wanting to find where the vampires are, tell Wesley Snipes, Medical College of Georgia. Oh, also, as an aside, the air conditioner in my room, which was broken, they had to bring me a fan, which was nice, let me tell you. Great, yeah, air conditioner's broken. I like it cold. The air conditioner, printed on it were the words Johnson Controls. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I went there. Yeah, get your Beavis and Butthead laugh out. Well, come on, do it. It's fun. Johnson Controls. Yeah. So, yeah, that was kind of... made me chuckle, maybe. I don't know, maybe it'll make you laugh, I don't know. I don't really watch TV, so, you know, what am I going to do in a fucking hospital bed for 5 days? Had lots of books, MP3 player, mainly listened to music, and rested. Got home, was getting back, I got on my sidetrack on my story there, got back home, and that's when I actually did my real sleeping. And I swear to God, I got home on Monday of this week, and I slept pretty much, I want to say about 15 hours. I'm not exaggerating this either. I got home around 4 o'clock at night, and I did not get out of bed until about 1 p.m. the next day. So whatever that comes out to. It was a ridiculous amount of time. And I was so happy. I was so happy. Then the next day I get up and I don't really do much of anything. All I did was really lie around, watch TV on my couch and then sleep. But when I went to bed that night to actually sleep, properly sleep, I had an experience I've never had before in my entire life. And I'm going to share it with you. One of the side effects of steroids I didn't mention in the previous break was that they basically fuck with your head in a way that... Again, this is not a pleasant high at all. Do not suggest this to anybody. And I had what I can only describe as a schizophrenic experience. Schizophrenia, for those who don't know, a lot of people, you know, have this mistaken impression that's split personality disorder. That's a wholly different thing. Schizophrenia is when you believe fanciful things are real. So, like, you are convinced that something that isn't happening is happening. Like, you know, you're sitting there at the bus stop and the guy next to you goes, "Hey man, you see that dragon over there in the corner?" And he's pointing in the corner and there's nothing over there. And he's like, "Yeah, you see that dragon's going to eat us if we don't get on the bus right now." That guy, you think he's got schizophrenia, and the reality of it is he isn't even there. You're talking to yourself and you're the one with schizophrenia, you fucking freak. No, I'm just playing. Reality, yeah, that's what schizophrenia is. Schizophrenia is imagining something that's not there and thinking it's real. And that's what happened to me. I was lying in bed, and the weird thing is I've never had lucid dreams in my entire life. In fact, I've never had any of the traditional dreams my entire life. The only time I've ever even remotely come close to a traditional dream was one time when I was a kid, I dreamt I went to school in my underwear, and that's it. I've never dreamt I was flying. I've never had dreams that I was falling. I've never had any of the traditional dreams that people have. My dreams are always, like, intensely realistic. I know people say, "Oh, I'm convinced it's so real." No, you really, words cannot properly contextualize how detailed and realistic my dreams actually are, and how elaborate and how bizarre. So I'm going to give you a little taste. This is what I went through with this. Now, part of what's important to keep in perspective of this is this was not traditional dreaming for me. My dreams all have narratives. They have a start, a middle, an end. There's a plot to them, okay? This had some elements of a plot, but most of the dream was just this shattered kind of something else. I don't even know what to describe it as. Like I said, it was so vivid. And the reason I say it was schizophrenia is because I was physically feeling the effects of the dream. And I've never physically felt a dream before. Never had a dream where I felt like I got shot in the arm and then thought my arm was bleeding and that I actually felt the pain. And I was experiencing that, which is an entirely new experience for me. So if it's something old hat to you, I'm sorry, it's new to me. At one point, I actually dreamed that my entire existence was being ground up into like a meat grinder type of thing, except it was turning more like into brown mulch. And I, at the same time that that's happening, at the same time I'm thinking this overwhelming nausea, like I'm going to throw up feeling, just like swept over me. And is like this whirlpool of just every single fragment of existence going into this little kind of just mash of just everything. And I was just feeling overwhelmed. And I would like sit there. Here's part of the problem. I'm not completely sure I'm asleep. Okay, because I know I'm in bed. Like I can sit there and go, "Oh, here, I'm gonna move my right arm. Oh, I'm in bed. I'm awake." But this is what I'm thinking. And at the same time, even though I'm aware that I'm in bed, I'm also going, "Wow, my entire existence was just crushed up into this ball." The dream that got me the most, and it starts off really sinister and dark, but there's this other element to it that outside of the darkness is going to make it so laughably hilarious. You're going to be like, "I cannot believe you were scared of this." Okay, so this was the central dream I had most of the night. And you'll notice that the pivotal kind of element in these dreams, which makes sense if you think about what I'm going through, the pivotal element to both these stories is that the entire world's being destroyed. Keep that in mind. I mean, that kind of makes sense in the context. So in the dream, it's War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells. You know, Mars or whatever planet, I assume it's Mars. Mars is attacking the Earth and basically laying waste to our civilization. But unlike in War of the Worlds, they actually have this technology where they essentially convert, I don't know if convert's the right word, like they morph our planet into this long strand that they're pulling towards their own planet, with the intent of just basically using us as one giant energy source. They're just going to burn everything. Plants, humans, ground, cars, buildings, the sky, the atmosphere, everything. It's going to go into this big, it's like a cell. And everything's just like jelly-like, like oozing into this single point that's slowly being peeled away. Now, I'm somehow outside of all this. watching this happen in abject horror, trying to prevent it from happening. And I'm talking to the strange, mysterious alien beings who are responsible for destroying all of humanity and trying to rationalize with them. And my and the way I was rationalizing with them was, I was like, look, this power that you guys, this I actually said this. I said, the power that you guys have, nobody should have this power. This should be forbidden power. Nobody should be allowed to have the power to basically convert known matter and energy into this other substance that you can just control at will to distort and use for your own nefarious purposes. Now, this was a very horrifying dream. I mean, I was just in abject terror about this. Again, as I'm having this dream, I'm positive that I was awake. I'm positive that I was not sleeping while I'm having this dream, that I was 100% awake while I was having this dream, that I'm actually having the dream in bed. I know it's hard to imagine where it could take a turn from here, but this is the part where you're going to start laughing. The aliens were cats. Not majestic, large, lion-like panthers or anything like that. Like common house cats. Meow, meow, pet, pet, purr, purr. You know, hairballs, the whole nine yards. Imagine that. Cute little fluffy cats. Except they're all dark. They were black and brown and gray. And they moved like cats. And my conversation with them, where I'm watching this whole thing go on outside of the world, is in this kind of like a stadium that's populated by these cats. Like, not only are they destroying our world, but they're doing it as they're doing it. It's entertainment to them. Yeah, yeah, let's move, you know, let's watch it move. Oh, that's so cool. You know, kind of like we would be, I would think, as if we had a power like that and we were doing something like that, we'd probably sell tickets as we destroyed other planets. And so that's kind of sort of the pivotal dream I had. What was crazy is that pieces of this dream, I'd have this dream in fragments. It wasn't a like I said, normally my dreams have a continuous narrative. That was the narrative I was able to gather as I kind of came out of this stupor that I was in as I was imagining all this. The reality of the way it played out, pieces would take place out of sequence. So, for instance, I would have the part where I was negotiating with the cat creatures before they started destroying the world, but then I'd have, you know, it'd go back to where I'm negotiating with them after they destroyed it, but then it'd go back to before they destroyed it, then it'd go on to the period leading up to it. And these were in, like, fragments. And, like, the fragments, I actually imagined at one point, like, they're jarring, jutting out of my frame of cognizance. Like, my dream was escaping my head and taking on a life of its own. And that became its own sort of terror, because I was terrified, you know, like, what have I unleashed upon the world? I've created this reality and it's going to leak out. I remember having that fear too. It's incredibly difficult to put into words. The easiest way to describe it is it was shattered. And, you know, the pieces, you imagine you take like a mirror and you crash it down on the ground. And then the pieces are everywhere and you're looking at your reflection and you're seeing little pieces of your reflection over and over again repeated. That's how I was kind of viewing the dream. That's how the dream was actually being delivered to me, to my subconscious. And in very rapid succession, we're talking about, I might get 50 to 60 little fragments in the span of a minute. So, you know, in a millisecond, in a half a second to a second and a half, I'm getting little pieces of it, bam, 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 coming to me. So some of them are repeating, some of them are out of sequence, some of them are in sequence, and this might go on for a span of 15 minutes. It was just absolutely brutal, just horrifyingly brutal. Not at all a pleasant experience. That was the dream. I really had to share that because I know it's strange. That's, again, I say it was schizophrenia because I believed as I was experiencing this, unlike any other dream I've had, I believed it was real. I've had plenty of dreams where I believe they were real in the dream, but then I wake up. Here's the thing. When you wake up, you go, oh, it was a dream, and you're done. When I would lie in bed, I would not be completely convinced that I was out of it, that I escaped that dreamlike state. I had still there, and that the things I was worried about are going to still be there, and I was still having to cope with them, and the threat was still imminent. And that's a wholly different thing. And so, having discussed that dream, let's go to a song. The song's called Loosen Your Hold. It's by a band called South.
So much affect the game. Your Indian dance don't make it rain, but it make it a little harder trying to break the chains. It's all the same, it's all in vain. All city, all state, all terrain. But all somebody's wanna make a name, but it's all in the family and all contained. I hope this dope don't kill you fast. Skills won't last, still in the past. Roll in the fast lane till you crash. Now put your hands in the air, feel the blast. What's the conclusion about the solution? Pollution, I'm still trying to figure it out. But I'm cool down here, boss. Whatever the cost, I'ma still keep digging it out. It's moonlit skies in the middle of the night. So surreal, but it don't seem right. Look into the light when all your mind is bright. Take her to new heights, you're ready for the fight. Moonlit skies in the middle of the night. ready for the fight.
You're showing me what to see.
Sound so raw, hit the mic swiftly and clown all y'all. Now all y'all wanna all choose sides, I refuse to lose. Now who's gonna die? Not me, I'ma live forever. I'ma keep it together through the weather with a feather in my hat. However, if you know any better, you know I'm a veteran. I'm clever and I will be back. I'm on my own and so is you. And everything I'm telling you is oh so true. It's all so new and old school too. I know somebody's listening but don't know who. Talk is cheap and life is cheaper. You're up to your neck but it still gets deeper. Check your beeper, check your watch, check your phone. Make sure you're two ways on. Hold your horses and let them run. Let them out the gate and have some fun. Pick you a thoroughbred and be number one. And pick one more and ride off in the sun. It's moonlit skies in the middle of the night. So surreal but it don't seem right. Look into the light with all your might. It's bright, take her to new heights. You're ready for the fight. Moonlit skies in the middle of the night. So surreal but it don't seem right. To the light with all your might, it's bright. Take her to new heights, you're ready for the fight.
South with Loosen Your Hold, followed by AC Alone, Moonlit Skies. Maybe not necessarily a lyrically appropriate song, but, you know, it, the music and the mood kind of sum up the wistful kind of feeling I'm having right now. One of the thoughts I had while in the hospital was how simultaneously fragile and at the same time resilient the human creature actually is. Someone can be walking down the street and be hit by a car and be dragged by the car down the road, break 27 different bones, have those bones puncture major organs, have them hauled off to the ER, placed on life support, have several life-saving surgeries, you know, go near the brink of death, and yet in the end come out healed and whole. Live a very long, productive, happy life, and die of what, until we decided medically we had to quantify every death, and until that time, what we would call old age. Then someone else could be walking down the road, and a landscaper mowing the lawn could, with their lawnmower blade, hit a pebble just the right angle, speed, and velocity to ping them in the back of the head, at just the right place with just the right resonance, that even though all it leaves is a casual tiny little bruise barely piercing the skin, sends deafening shockwaves through the person's brain, sending them into a seizure, releasing them into a coma, and ultimately causing them to die within hours. And that just strikes me as just so intensely strange. That the same human body that could be so nearly seem bulletproof could so easily fracture under far, far less severe circumstances. Ultimately, what we're left with is chance, things we can't control outside of life, you know. I mean, we have medical science. As the name suggests, it's down to a science. You know, it's a way of quantifying every single aspect of our physiology. You know, if you have this malady, we know that plugging in this medication will alter that malady in this way so as to cure you or treat you. I mean, with me, it's amazing that they would give me steroids. The steroids would basically help cure the symptoms for my condition. That they were able to determine that this particular chemical compound is what's required to get me back to where I need to be. And it's kind of funny, you know, I'm going to get philosophical here, but it's the whole ghost in the machine thing. Through this entire thing, you know, I've been mentally the same person I've always been. Now, that's not to say that I have not been changed by this experience. I have been inexorably changed by this experience. There's no way I have not been affected by this experience. What it has done is it's made me even more value the life I already had. You know, we tend to look at our lives in terms of successes and regrets and the things that we did, the bad choices we made, how, you know, that they kind of led us astray, and the good choices we made, how they got us to where we want to be. But the reality of it is, the bad choices and the bad things that happen to us are every bit as important as the good things that happen to us. You know, you are where you are because of every single choice and every single event that has occurred to you, plus your chemical makeup. I mean, we can't control the natural inclinations we have, who we are as people. That's in and of itself completely outside of us. I'm really into Egyptian mythology. The ancient Egyptians, one of the reasons they mummified people was because they believed that you didn't exist in one person. They recognized that there were different elements to you that make up who you are. So they believed that the soul of a human being was actually made up of seven different parts. There's the ba, which is what most American people consider to be what we would call a soul, like your essence. There's the ka, which is a kind of a different thing. It's a spiritual essence. You had the Kaibut, I think is how it's pronounced. Kaibet, if I'm not mistaken, is the director, which is kind of what I'm referring to as far as personal inclinations. You know what you like. You know that you like, for instance, maybe I prefer white chocolate to dark chocolate. I like cold rooms to warm rooms. I love the feeling of my feet walking through wet sand. Those aren't necessarily me. I'm just using those as examples. Personal preferences. The interesting thing about personal preferences is that you don't really decide what your personal preferences are. You know what they are. You're intently aware of what they are, but you have no control over them. Now, what you do is you try to control your environment to make your preferences available to you, but you have no actual decision-making process over what those preferences are. They're just there. They're decided for you. It's one of the things the Egyptians believed in. They consider that to be the director of your life. You know what I mean? You know, this thing outside you that says, you're going to do this. Whether you like it or not, guess what? You're going to do it. And that's so part of what we are. You know, I mean, we're fractured beings. It's a little bit deeper to me than the ghost. You know, people talk about the ghost in the shell. I don't mean the anime. I'm talking about the philosophical principle that there's a soul. But I think there's more to it than that. I think there's more parts to it. I think the Egyptians were probably more onto something than we give them credit for. They're more perceptive in analyzing the human experience that way. Because when you start looking at those different pieces, it really kind of makes sense. It kind of comes into focus. I look at all the different experiences that we have, right? The way that we are as people. And as I said, we tend to look at things in sense of contrast of being positive or negative, and those good experiences are, you know, what got us where we are. But the reality is the bad experiences got us where we are too. And the bad experiences are every bit as important, every bit as valuable as the good experiences. I'm just lucky to be alive. I'm lucky to have this moment right here, right now. And if something bad is happening to me during that moment, it's not some sort of predestined spiritual journey that's going to get me to the next plateau. It's just something that happened. But I'm going to take from that and I'm going to continue on. Life is precious. And it is nothing but these moments, these experiences. That's all we have. That's the beginning and end of it. All we have is time. And what we leave behind us is important to our friends and family, but it's not as important as what we have at this moment. It's a little bit deeper than carpe diem, that whole, you know, seize the day, get out there and do something. And I'm a very creative person, so, I make art, do photography, I make music, I write a little bit here and there. That is not necessarily to say that you should be doing those things, but everybody's capable of creating or doing something, even if it's going and helping other people. In fact, if anything, that's far more profound and impacting than anything I could do. You know, I donate money to CARE Pregnancy Center, which is an institution that helps pregnant women who don't have the money to take care of their children for their medical care and so forth. That's just one of the things that I do. There's a huge number of things you could get out there and do. And life is just so short. And the most people spend it idle. You know, video games, TV, movies, or just playing, doing nothing at all. And I mean positively 100% nothing. And when you die, what do you have to show for it all? A lot of people, if you look at them, their biggest regret is that they didn't spend their time experiencing things and doing things. And if you're listening to my words, and there's some specific people I'm really thinking of out there, Mr. Snoop Toddy Todd, yes, I'm calling you out. Yeah, life is just so precious, and it's just so short. And when you have an experience like mine where you realize how easily it might be cut off, it just makes it, you value it so much more. And it doesn't matter what that specific thing is, as long as it does no harm. If you can do good, go out there and do it. Every single moment counts. All of them. All of them. You're going to regret things. Of course you're going to regret things. Everyone regrets things. William S. Burroughs once had a person who said, you know, have you done anything in your life that you regret, Mr. Burroughs? And he said, well, gee, you know, I can't go a day without regretting a whole bunch of things. And this guy's talking about a lifetime. Yeah, there's tons of things that we regret in life. But those bad things are part of what got us there, too. They're every bit as important as the good things. Everything matters. It all counts. It all adds up to who you are. And instead of regretting poor decisions, I'm just going to embrace every single moment that I have because it's all special. It all means something, even if it just means something to me. So that's kind of my message here. This is the part where the theme music swells up and the logo and the NBC, The More You Know stuff appears behind me with all the stars. Let's check out a little song by Outkast from their very first album before they were, you know, big, big names. Features the Goody Mob because they represent the Dirty South. The song's called Get Up, Get Out, and I think it's oddly appropriate. Again, Mr. Snoop Toddy Todd, I hope you listen to this. You need to get up and get out, son. And if you're listening to this and this inspires you, by all means, please get out there and do something with your life before it's over.
Nigga, you need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't let the days of your life pass by. You need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't spend all your time trying to get high. You need to get up, get out, and get something. How will you make it if you never even try? You need to get up, get out, and get something. Cause you and I got to do for you and I. I don't recall ever graduating at all. Sometimes I feel I'm just a disappointment to y'all. Every day I just lay around and I can't be found. Always asking, give me some, living life like a punk. Times is rough, my auntie got enough problems of her own. Nigga, you supposed to be grown. I agree, I gotta be the man I'm supposed to be. But negative fatigue is all you seem to ever see. I admit, I've done some dumb shit, and I'm probably gonna do some more. You shouldn't hold that against me though. Why not? My music's all that I got. But sometimes I'm speaking just for this to be manifested. I know you know, but I'm gonna say this to you. I get high, but I don't get too high. So what's the limit supposed to be? That must be why you can't get your ass up out the bed before 3. You need to get up, get out, cut that bullshit out. Ain't you sick and tired of having to do without? Damn, what up with all these questions? You act as though you know something I don't. Do you have any suggestions? Cause every
Every job I get is cruel and demeaning. Sick of taking trash out and toilet bowl cleaning. But I'm also sick and tired of struggling. I never ever thought I'd have to resort to drug smuggling. Nah, that ain't what I'm about. See, no one just continue traveling this route without any doubt or fear. I know the Lord ain't brought me this far so he can drop me off here. Did I make myself clear?
You need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't let the days of your life pass by. You need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't spend all your time trying to get high, nigga. You need to get up, get out, and get something. How will you make it if you never even try? You need to get up, get out, and get something. Cause you and I got to do for you and I.
Get up, stand up, so what said you dickhead? See, when I was a youngster, used to wear them fucking pro kids. My mama made me do it, but the devil, he made me smart. Taught me to jack them weak-ass niggas, but they fucking starters. In the middle school, I was a bigger fool. I wore a tank top to show off my tattoo, thought it was cool. I used to hang out with my daddy's brothers. I call them my uncles. They taught me how to smoke herb. I followed them when they ran numbers. So in a sense, I was Rosemary's baby. And then I learned the difference between a bitch and a lady. Girl, I treat them all like toes. See, I pimped them. Bitch never had my money, so I never whipped them. See, all the players came and all the players went. A player ain't a gangster, but a player can handle with shit, bitch. You need to get up, get out, get something. Smoke out, cause it's all about money, money, money. Yeah, I said it. A nigga spoken plats in the Braves. Said I hang with Rico away, cause the dungeon is where the funk's at. Why? I'm true to organize, cause they raised me. I'm also down with the face, cause L.A. Reid, yeah, he pays me. And it's cool, yeah. Get paid, fat fox, and all that other fat shit like that.
You need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't let the days of your life pass by. You need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't spend all your time trying to get high, nigga. You need to get up, get out, and get something. How will you make it if you never even try? You need to get up, get out, and get something. Cause you and I got to do for you and I.
A lot of people in my past tried to do me. Screw me, throw me over in the fire. Let me get chunky and charred like a piece of wood. The spirits got the mutant's mind. I'm getting paranoid and steady looking for the time. It's 8 in the morning and ain't nobody up yet. I got my lone judge, get my coat and throw my ball cap. I'm headed out the door to get off in my ride. I'm digging through the ashtray, hoping to have a good day. I have Jamaica's best. And when I light it up, I hear a voice in my head.
I got to get up, get out, and get
now
something.
I know it's on. My day has finally started. Back up in my crib, beat my shit, break out quick in my slick 84 Sardana Bill, steady bouncing out the point to Camerton Road, the valley of the South Side flow. Everybody know about that killer that we call Flow. So keep your eyes peeled for the Cobra unit, cause they know for jumping out of black Chevy choice and through the ball. Here comes the Red Dogs. I'm busting out around the corner in my hall, dipping from the area. I'm scared, so one of these bitches might wind up dead. Cause I have no type of jail. Fuck clapping cops, fuck Elgin Bale and crooked ass Jackson. Got the whole country thinking that my city is the big lick for 96, 94, Big Gip, Goody Mo, Outcast, a vision from the past. Hootie, hootie, hoo. My white owls are burning kinda slow.
You need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't let the days of your life pass by. You need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't spend all your time trying to get high, nigga. You need to get up, get out, and get something. How will you make it if you never even try? You need to get up, get out, and get something. Cause you and I got to do for you and I.
Y'all telling me that I need to get out and vote, huh? Why? Ain't nobody black running but crack curves, so why I got to register? I'm thinking of better shit to do with my time. Never smelled the aroma of the plumber, but I write the deep ass rhyme. So let me take y'all way back to when a nigga stayed in Southwest Atlanta, A. Y'all could not tell me nothing, thought I hit that bottom rock. At age 13, start working at that loading dock. Then laying my mama off of work, General Motors tripping. But I come home back like Hank from licking and dipping. Doing dumb shit, not knowing what a nigga know now. Yeah, that petty shit will have you cased up and locked down. I dip over to East Point, still acting a fool. Wasting my time in the school, I'd rather be shooting pool. Cool is how I played the 10th grade. I thought it was all about macking hoes and wearing pimp face. Instead of being in class, I'd rather be up in some ass. Not thinking about them six courses that I need to pass. Graduation rolled around like roly-polies.
damn, that's fucked up. I should've listened when my mama told me that. If you play now, you're gonna suffer later. Figured she was talking yang yang, so I paid her no attention and kept missing the point she tried to poke me with. The doper that I get, the more I'm feeling broke as shit. But that don't matter though, I am an O-U-T cast, so get up off your ass.
Get up, get out, and get something. Don't let the days of your life pass by. You got to get up, get out, and get something. Don't spend all your time trying to get high. You need to get up, get out, and get something. How will you make it if you never even try? You need to get up, get out, and get something. Cause you and I got to do for you and I. You need to get up. You need to get up.
Up in the highest of heights, O'Hara blinks and fights. This land is yours, this land is mine. I see the captain in red and Carol at his head. This land is yours, this land is mine.
Thank you.
Outkast featuring Goody Mob with Get Up, Get Out. And that second one was Sufjan Stevens. The song's No Man's Land. Again, not so much appropriate to the subject, but just a resonating song. It feels like appropriate for the mood, even though the lyrical content isn't necessarily about anything I'm going through. I'm going to pretty much wrap this up. I don't really know that there's much else I have to say about what this period of my life has been like. I intend to continue doing these podcasts if people are interested in keeping up on them, but it's going to be less about my medical problems and more about just life in general and philosophy and politics and art and things that interest me. And hopefully what you guys think of is cool music and stuff like that. So just kind of a diary sort of thingy. I really appreciate everybody who's been giving me support through email or on forums or just in general in life, Facebook, everything. You have no idea, each one of you, how much it's meant to me, truly, sincerely. A lot of thanks to some specific people who really helped. Not that any one particular person's contribution or thoughts or deeds or care matters more than anyone else's, but people who've really facilitated in a certain way. Everybody at PG, you know who you are. Generic, thank you so much for, you know, basically helping everyone get the word out, and especially Jazz and Q. You guys, you're a couple of nut jobs. You, Carmen, and Paul, and everyone who visited me in the hospital. I can't thank you enough. That mattered so much more than I can even possibly potentially put into words. It made all the difference. You being there and coming by to see me. SMP, of course, and the usual gang of people, Chuck, Larry, Greg, thanks so much. Anyone who's taken the time to even remotely care about me and my stupid little life, thank you so much for your concern. Some way or another, I will have my revenge upon you all. So, yeah, you know what that means. I'm going to do something for everybody somehow. I'll find some way to return the favor. What I'm going to leave you with is a song that I made. This is from the new album that I have. The whole album, if you want to download it, it's absolutely free. It's on my website. It's instrumental, mostly scratchy noise and beats, breaks. It started out, it was just me fucking around with breakbeats and samples. I wasn't even going to make an album for anyone to listen to. It was for me, personally, just to appreciate. But what happened was, as I worked on it, it slowly became more and more focused. Originally, I was just making beats just to drive around to. I wasn't even making them to, like, for anybody to rap on or anything like that. It was just something for me to play around and just listen to. And as I produced this album, this whole set of events just came into focus. And so this last song, it's very wistful. It's a very sad song, and I hate to leave it on a down note, but it so accurately portrays the emotions I was feeling as I was going through this crazy event in my life. But basically, it's called Dissolve to Gray. And it kind of represents the way I was feeling as I was terrified that I was completely going blind. Just imagine, as you're listening to this, you know, losing your own eyesight. For those who didn't hear the first podcast, when I lost my sight in my left eye, which I have been regaining, I didn't lose it in the way, it didn't go blurry and it didn't go black. What happened was everything went gray. The actual medical term is loss of contrast. And so what happens is all the colors in the spectrum turn to the same 50% middle-of-the-road shade of gray. If you could imagine opening Life in Photoshop and turning the contrast down, that's exactly what happens. If you actually go into Photoshop and you turn the contrast down on a picture, you'll see you slide the slider to the left and everything will go gray. And that's what I'm looking at through my left eye. I still don't have full color spectrum back. They say I may never completely have full color spectrum. in that eye compared to my right eye, which is completely fine. So it still feels oddly appropriate because with the steroids and my my senses being so dulled, like taste, feeling, sense of time and everything, it still feels very oddly appropriate. So I'm going to leave you with this song and just, you know, dim the lights and close your eyes, put the headphones on and just put yourself in this place and try to imagine the way that I'm feeling, because that's what I'm kind of conveying through this song. This is EBA signing off.